21st Century Fairy Tales, Telling It Like It Is, by Nick Owen. Number 2, Cinderella. Come close, my dear, and listen to the tale of Cinderella. You know, the one got married to that super princely fella. They called her Cinders because she kept sleeping in the ashes. That was her way of keeping warm and dodging stepmum's lashes. Her father was very far from kind. Her mother's death he didn't mind. There was no grieving on his part. Her mother died of a broken heart. He married stepmum much too quick, which left young Cindy feeling sick, inheriting two ugly sisters who liked to cover her in blisters. Now Jezebel worshipped Judy and Jill, her girls, by an earlier marriage. Cindy she would have been happy to kill and dump in the refuse carriage. Her children, they just loved to tease her. Stepmum vowed she wouldn't please her. Father didn't seem to care, and mostly he just wasn't there. He'd not really loved her mother, but stepmum thrilled him like no other. Cindy, he too left broken-hearted, grieving for her dear departed. She went to sit among the graves, while sisters spent their time at raves. Cindy, dressed in shabby jeans, was fed on toast and cold baked beans. But Cindy had a lovely face and had her mother's quiet grace, while sisters both had ugly faces with all their bits in the oddest places. Cindy's figures were just like a Barbie. Theirs were suited much more for the army. The sisters were extremely jealous of her attraction for the fellas, but Cindy didn't seem to care. Boys might as well have not been there. Her dad turned slowly into a loser, spending his time more and more at the boozer. The girls beat Cindy black and blue and stuffed her sweet head down the loo. Their mother was happy to join right in, kicking the girl with a hideous grin. Cindy was soon in deep despair. She cut off her locks of golden hair, and to the graveyard she'd repair to stick a needle in her arm, which did some good, but much more harm, and no one cared or gave the alarm. She stole from shops to pay the dealer, who liked to think of herself as a healer, with remedies for every ill. Pity that they sometimes kill. She'd sit there under the graveyard tree, the tracks on her veins for all to see. Dad was getting extremely vexed with Jezebel, just sex-obsessed. Seeing Cindy so depressed, the dealer vowed to do her best in shifting guilt from off her chest, lend Cindy clothes and shoes and makeup, trying to postpone her breakup. She lifts her up from mother's grave, says, "Cindy, you shall go to the rave. Now take this tab of ecstasy, and also this, it's LSD. She bundles Cindy into her car and drives her there. It isn't far. Inside, a heroine hides in a corner, discussing the scene with a friend called Lorna. But the dealer had also forgotten to warn her the drugs would start to wear off around midnight. She'd better leave then if she wanted to stay right. On center stage was a wonderful dancer, a man who seemed to have every answer. This was a man who was certainly regal, though his blood wasn't blue and his title not legal. On the dancing floor, he just soared like an eagle. He wasn't the artist who used to be Prince, though his fans called him Gary. His mum called him Vince. Every girl there had his light in their eyes, and everyone thought him a prince among guys. Cindy looks round, and to her great surprise, all of the fear in her suddenly dies. She wasn't a girl who thought much about men, but when she saw this one, she turned on, and then it was though she was meeting the man of her dreams, the sort with those wonderful sexual themes. She leaps to her feet and jumps out on the floor. Suddenly, Cindy's in touch with her core. She can dance from her spirit and dance from her soul, and dance with her body beyond her control, and yet she unerringly makes for her goal. Our heroine, inspired by love, is dancing like a turtle dove. Our hero, the man who looks just like a prince, starts gazing at her from his coffee and mints. It's nothing to do with his family tree. This man is a modern-day celebrity. He knows what he wants, and it has to be she. This is the very best rave of the year. The sisters, of course, simply have to be here, either snorting cocaine or just swilling their beer. They ask if it's Cindy out there on the floor. It's surely not possible. She's such a bore. The lovers dance like Posh and Beckham. There's nothing in the world can wreck 'em. But Finally, just when he's holding her near, a heroine suddenly starts to feel queer. She slips from her jacket and makes for the door, just when the audience screaming for more. A hero's left standing there holding her jacket. Deep in the lining, he finds a small packet. The dealer's left her phone in there. He hugs it like a teddy bear. He vows to ring up every number until it's done he won't slumber. He swears to wed the girl with a phone, but until then he'll sleep alone, which isn't a virtue for which he was known. No one could count all the seed he had sown. His family and friends said he must have been pissed, but it was her beautiful dancing he missed, like the music of Mozart, the playing of Liszt, and all for a girl he'd not even kissed, her dancing so special he cannot resist. The memory bank holds at least 15 names, so the hero has little time left to play games. Gary goes visiting all of the girls, some of the daughters of barons and earls. A hero he asks to see all of their dances, which quickly is bringing an end to their chances. At last he gets to Cindy's house. He asks to meet her mother's spouse. While Gary is trying to talk with him, poor Cindy sent to Uncle Jim. With Cindy so carefully out of the way, the stepmother sees her girls winning the day. Judy starts to show her dance, and he retreats at her advance. He sits and watches for a while. Her best can't even make him smile. Jill has yet more determination. She dances way beyond her station. She strips and dances in his lap. She thinks he's a lucky chap, though even if she dances well, he can't abide her armpit smell. Gary exits in despair. He'd hope to find the answer there. He wanders slowly down the street, sadly staring at his feet. Cindy sees him passing there and wonders if she might just dare to talk to him. To Cindy it's just infradig admitting that she wore a wig. No longer wearing pretty clothes, she thinks, I really don't suppose he'll recognize me in the street, unless, of course, I use my feet. The two are very quickly dancing. It's better than the best romancing. Their feet, they hardly touch the ground to music played without a sound as both go spinning round and round. They dance until they reach his car, the most expensive Jaguar. Both laughing as they drive away, they start to plan their wedding day. Well, daughter dear, my tale is done, much better now than when begun. The lovers very soon are wed and honeymooning in the med. Our Cindy's no more time for grieving. She's concentrating on conceiving. Is there a moral to this tale? If you think hard, you will not fail. Success comes when you find your bliss. And dancing's where the answer is. It isn't really in his kiss.